live and direct this morning, man. The morning drip, Suleiman Bey. Well, welcome, y'all. Assalamu alaikum. Peace, love, shalom. Whatever you say to wake your day up, to get, put you in the spirit and the mood, say that and do that. We live and direct this morning. Got the professor with me, Hakeem Jabbar, and we just cruising. So y'all buckle up, enjoy the ride, take some notes, go back and archive to listen again because we just doing what we do. Yes, top of the morning, cuz.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
So what happens is, see, first of all, it's coming together. It's going, we're going to call it the Black Entrepreneurship, you know, Association. So in order to do anything, me and you both know there's strength in numbers.
Right.
So you can't, you have to get, you really got to get in the right spaces. You have to be in the right spaces dealing with the right people with the right know-how to get anything.
You got some moving over there? I hear some static.
No, nothing's moving.
Okay, there you go. It's clear now. Yes, sir.
So what it is that, you know, through our conversations, especially talking to you about, you know, so, you know, getting them together first. Because it's easy to get somebody together when you talk about, let me try to help you expand your business. Let me show you what we can do when we get together and do this. See, once I get them together, once we're going through these people, they're going to write up our business plans.
Right.
We're going to get us the business plan. You need a business plan, business proposal. You ain't going to talk to nobody and tell them nothing verbally, and they finna give you anything.
Nothing.
Period. Nothing. You know, so you even, once you get a business, you even got to have a business card so somebody can see exactly what it is you're doing. Here's my business card. Why do you think they got that?
No question about it.
If you tell somebody, hey, man, I got a moving and hauling business. If you need some moving and hauling, let me know. They're going to forget. But if you give them a business card, chances are they're going to have that card.
Right.
You know. So now that I can get this group together, proposals done by experts, because what I found out, they got a computer program. When they start inputting the information, they put it all together for you. So you're going to get a professional business plan. So that's the first step right there. See, I'm going to run it under the AACDO, under Enterprise, and then what I'm going to do is we're going to start this Black Entrepreneur Association. So now I got them together. Now, once I get them together, we get started. Now we go to how we do the dubs with each other and do the trading thing with each other. But the first step before I can do that, I got to get them together.
Yeah.
Once I can get them together, we can get moving. I can show you. Not tell you, but show you. You know, it's all about the doing. Now it's easy for me to introduce you to this and introduce you to that, introduce you to this, introduce you to that. Like I said, I went to each person and I just interviewed them myself. Hey, what do you need to expand? Because what this place is looking for is to help Black business. So, you know, I'm tired of people talking about that racism stuff. I don't even want to hear that. And the reason I say that is because it exists. It's always going to exist. They ain't going to never like us. They ain't going to never do too much for us. So what I try to teach my people is, how do we operate in this America, you know, despite that, operate. We need to come together. So I'm not going to let them keep me focused on racism. You understand?
Right.
I'm going to focus on some economics. I'm going to focus on how do we get these business, because the best example to set is to be in business. All of us is from the hood with businesses. So now you're setting a standard. This is what you should be doing. Right here.
Right.
Get you a business. Now these guys get to hire other Blacks, get you a business. Lead that business. So Sam Walmart been dead. He been gone.
Right.
Microsoft, if you go get a job and you work 30 years at that job, you can't let none of your kids inherit your damn job.
Right.
You can't leave a job inheritance. No. So we can create generational wealth through business. And I got some good news about the car wash.
Right.
So they're sending the numbers in, just like that car wash. I'm not going to spend a dollar down. I'm going to lease to buy. Give me a five-year lease. You want to give me a lease to buy. Let me see how much money you're making, how much your bills are and everything, and we'll figure out how much money you want every month, and give me the place. You don't want it. You can't make no money with it. Let me have it. You know. But you don't. All the time, you don't need money. I got the right person that knows how to do this situation, how to put this situation together. You understand what I'm saying to you? I got some people that's willing to work with me because they don't want the place because they can't make money, but they know I can. You understand? Right. So a lot of times, it's you know, your fortune lies in your people ties. Your network is your network. You know, and I tell people all the time, who you know is important, but who know you is more important. Because I know Michael Jordan. He don't know me.
Right.
I know Oprah Winfrey. She don't know me.
Right.
I know Steph Curry. He don't know me.
Right.
You see, it's who knows you that's going to do for you. You know, ain't no stranger help coming. That's a rarity.
Right.
You know, so what it is is that, you know, I'm not going to be like the 60s and focus on integration because the only thing I want to integrate is into their bankroll. I'm not into that. You know, like I said, black lives do matter, but black dollars matter, black and not economics matter. I'm into that.
And see, the thing about it, you correct. See, the business model, that's the exact thing we have to go on. And what we got to put our energy towards is creating businesses for ourselves and kind. It's going to help give back to us. Because without that, then, shit, because like you said, listen, if tough times come, economic tough times come, each people's self-preservation is the number one rule of law. So each people go do for self and kind. That's how it should be. So if it's an economic crash for the Mexicans, they don't have an economic crash with their economies because they go spend their money at their stores. They don't go to your community and spend with the Chinese or the Black. They spend with their people. So they don't have. But we have that problem. We spending our money everywhere else. So even building the business model, if we don't have the people's mind centered on self and kind in each other, then we're just another victim in the pond because it's easy for them to shut down industries. You dig what I'm saying? So we got to make these industries self-refueling and self-sufficient for where our kind need them. They're dependent upon them. They have to have them. And we thriving and giving back to them so we can keep them flourishing so nobody can shut them down because we're dependent on them. See, our money the number one dollar they're spending. Our cash, but we're giving it to everybody else. My motto, I've been doing, like you know, I got my mom and my grandma on her way, right?
Right.
So I got them two coming in. I've been trying to tell my father, he out there your way. He pay $1,800 a month. That's what my grandma pay, $1,800 a month for rent, not including her little bills. So you got $2,000 there, $2,000 there. My mom, $2,000. So I told my father, I'm like, why are you going to keep paying these people rent? You haven't left nothing. Who cares about what your name is just because you say your name and you got your name is good and people know you. You ain't left nothing, no kind of legacy for no generations, nobody before you, and you haven't done it. So I'm trying to get you to redirect your resources. You spend
exactly.
$2,000 a month. Come live here rent-free. We got property. Take half of that, put it in your pocket, and you could go spend it on whatever you want. You didn't have that luxury before you paying rent. And take the other half, each one of y'all, and we put it into an investment every month. Do you know what $4,000 is? Four of us, $1,000 apiece, $4,000 a month to spend and to invest.
Yep.
Do you know what that turns into? Look what's going on with cryptocurrencies and different stocks and stuff right now. If you got $3,000 or $4,000 every month to go into investment for the future, bro, in 3 to 5 years, bro, you could put down some generational wealth, bro, if you know what you're doing. So I've been on my family members about that. I've been calling them all, nephews, cousins, little ones. Letting them know, listen, we've been putting, I got cousins who got Amex cards, credit. We've been doing the credit, putting each other's on there. I put my niece on two of my cards. She's 15, 13. Listen, you build your people's credit up. If you got people in your family with Amex cards, they got unlimited, they've been paying history good. Hey, cousin, let me give you $200 to put me on your card. It report for 60 days and stay on there for 7 years. Stay on there. So it's reported. It builds your credit up. And we do
right.
that to all our people. And we build the credit up. So now you have the credentials to go with any type of advance in life. Whatever you apply for, your credit score shows and goes with it. So it ain't just one person running around, oh, you got an AMAC card, but the rest of your family ain't got shit.
No, you put the young ones on there. By the time they, from 13, 15 up, by the time they're 18, they have astounding, outstanding credit because you did it.
The credit cards, how they started it, why they started it, the best way to, like a lot of people on them credit cards, is best, believe it or not, is when you, this is how I pay my credit cards off. At 15 days before my bill, I pay half of it. The next 3 days before, I pay the other half. I pay it completely off. And the reason I pay it completely off is so they don't hit me on the interest. What they want is the people that pay that minimum. How they make people, you know, and then what happens then, you get a double added to your credit line. You know, people think, oh no, just spend this much and then spend this much and spend that much, that's some bullshit.
Right.
That they set up for you to think that.
Right.
That's how they set up. They set up for you to think that.
Yeah, they for emergencies.
You know what it is is that when I got one for 200, one for 300. When I use those cards, I pay half of whatever deals I didn't spend and pay the other half. I get both of them put on my credit report.
Right.
Two times a month. You don't pay no minimum 25% and all that, or you got $700 balance and they say pay $50. And they string you out. By the time you keep paying that $50, you didn't double what you owe. You didn't pay $700
in interest. Oh, yeah, no doubt.
So what they did was when they created, I'm going to have to let you go to next lecture and look under explain and see how they even came up with their credit card game, you know, and all these get rich. They just explain all that bullshit that you see all the time. And, you know, anytime you get the origin of something, you understand it completely better because you know why it started. We get credit cards and we deal with credit and stuff, but we don't know even when did they start keeping credit score? Why do they keep credit score? See that type of thing.
Right.
I like to see from the start of things. Where's the origin of this at? How did this start? And like you said, I applaud the Hispanics because the Hispanics, first of all, they identify with each other through culture. That's the first thing. Like I say, when you ask a Hispanic person where he's from, he tell you Mexico. He don't say I'm from Oakland. I'm from Pittsburgh. I'm from L.A. He don't put no city behind him. He put the whole country behind him.
Right.
He don't say I'm from Tijuana. Why? He don't say none of that. When you come and ask, when Roger comes, you know Roger like a brother, he's from Panama. He don't come and tell you what city he's from. He say he's from Panama.
Right.
You see? So what happened is I've watched him, every Panamanian that's from, that he meets here or so forth, they automatically hook up with no problem.
Right.
With no problem. Okay, Hispanics, when they come here, because they bring their language, they bring their food, they bring their clothes, they bring their whole culture they bring with them. So they automatically identify with each other no matter where they're at in these funky United States. So when you see one of them, the burrito trucks and them people selling fruit and all that stuff, when you see them, all of them are set up to go and be, hey, you can come over here and you can set up a fruit stand. You got the guy, I'm going to put you right on this corner. Police don't bother them. Guess what? They don't need not one black, white, or other to buy one piece of that fruit because those Hispanics are going to support them. They will go to their Mexican store and they won't buy the fruit. They'll go to the fruit stand from the guy standing on the corner and buy the fruit from him because they're going to support that business. So they're going to make sure their dollars help each other.
Right.
So what they do, they know the only way you can make your dollars help each other is you have to have businesses that your people can come to and spend the money. I ask black folks all the time, just take 1 month of your bills or whatever you spend your money on and see how much of it you spent with black people. $0.
Yeah.
You didn't
zero.
$0.
Zero.
You and the reason is what we need to do is generate more black businesses. And like you said, all the things you're talking about is absolutely true. So I have to intake all this information so that I can let me introduce these guys to this first. Let me tell them we need to do this first. Now once I can get them to, because everything we're trying to do and I'm trying to do is brand new to this. So a lot of times we have to convince our people, and you got to have the right reputation to say, come on.
So come on. So what I've been doing
Okay, for instance, now that I've created this association, right?
Right.
Now this is what this association does. Now, once we get our business proposal and business plans where we're official, well, I don't got to talk about it. You can read about it, you know, and you got to have the right people that know how to put you in. It's actually some nonprofits. Okay, for instance, Drew Holiday and his wife, both basketball players. They want to give $1 million to black organizations that's doing black things. They want to give a meal ticket. So you're not going to get any of that money calling them up.
No.
Hey, man, I got this and this and this. They're not going to give you nothing.
Right.
Where are you at on paper?
Right.
Where are you at on paper?
Right.
They're not just going to give you anything. Where are you at on paper, cuz?
Right.
You understand? Because this is the qualification. This is what we're looking for. That's why I haven't been able to really push AACDO is because I don't have a firm 501c3. So I can't do anything yet because it's not confirmed.
Because
they'll tell you about confirmed. So the first step for me is to get them together. Let me find these guys. Let me get these guys together now. Now, the next step is let me find the people that's really got money that's supposed to be doing this, but they don't know what businesses is on the front. They don't even know we exist. When I showed the guy I had the trucks and the food I was giving away and I had the car washed down, he said, where you been? I said, I've been right here in the hood. I've been right here in the hood. That's where I've been. Right here.
Right here.
Right here with no help. I ain't been getting no help for nothing. So now just the couple people that I was introduced to, right, and I had meetings with, immediately they've been looking for us, and we ain't been knowing who they was. And then what they say, I said, I didn't come by myself. I got eight other brothers that's got businesses here that need some help to expand. And just like you said, now watch this. Now watch this. As soon as we get the business plans and all that stuff together and all that, right, now we've been to hit El Bay consultant to get us straight on the business credit.
On the credit, right. On
here's
both business
eight,
and
here's
personal.
Here's these eight. See, look, you don't have a child, man. And it's like this. You remember when Duda was young and you used to walk him across the street in your hand? You walked across the street with him? You remember that?
Yeah.
You remember walking him across the street? So you hold on to him, you get in the crosswalk, and you keep walking. And you keep walking him and walking because you don't want nothing to happen because, you know, once he get out of the streets, it's dangerous because cars can come, not see. So you keep walking him across the street. And then all of a sudden when you walk him across, it was a time came where he just walked with you. Dude will walk right on the side of you. He walked right on the side of you. He walked right on the side of you. You don't have to hold his hand no more. He's getting it. And then all of a sudden you'll be there and you'll sit there. I used to do Kimi this way. I used to say, okay, Kimi, come on. I go across the street and come. I say, all right, step down on the curb. Look both ways. All right, come on. You know what I'm saying? Come on. Because I was so uncomfortable, I couldn't let him. I had to. It was a long time before I would let him go, you know, move around like that. You understand?
Right.
You see what I'm saying, T? So it is with these guys. These guys, you got to you don't take a baby and just start feeding them. You don't take no goddamn baby and just start feeding them shit meat. No,
right.
You don't just feed them meat. No, you give them that soft shit. Or you got to shit up.
So that's why I kind of been quiet. I was gonna do my show more, and I just been kicked back because I'm reinventing what I'm doing right now. See, what I'm doing is I hear everything what you're saying, and that's all correct too. But you know what I've been doing? I've been getting myself complete so I can be the full example of everything that I say. I'm going to make sure I've been studying the credit, how you say it, inside out. Man, listen, it's 40 bureaus. It's over 40 bureaus. It's more than the three big bureaus that they report to. It's more than that. Just holding information on you, and you got to know how to tap into them and get. And listen, I'm going deep into it, bro. To where when I finish, I'm gonna have an A50. That's what I'm focusing on. I'm just sitting in the house. I don't got nothing else to do. I'm focusing on that. I'm focusing on the business stuff, how to build up. When I come out of my when I come out of the back cave, I'm gonna have all my things together, and then I'm gonna be able to say, hey, okay, now follow me. That's what I'm.
Right.
That's what I've been working on, because you know how it go when you experiment and you're working on stuff. You got to work out the kinks. So I'm just I got enough time on my hands. I'm blessed with that. I don't have the work. I put myself in a position where I don't have the like the bills and stuff that other people pay. I have bills. Don't get me confused.
Right.
Like, I don't have to worry about like a roof over my head. So I don't have that tension and that stress that I got to get up and move. Because that's taken care of. Anything else is a bill that even if they came and confiscated or took, I wouldn't give a damn. I got a roof over my head. You hear me?
Right.
So that makes a big difference for me and what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. So I'm just sitting back, man. I'm enjoying the blessings that Allah bestowing upon me. I'm thankful, bro, for so much. Like, it's painful, bro. People don't understand the mental. They talking more about it now, bro. I got a mental health problem from my life. From being in institutions. I have to admit that and understand that even dealing with my mom, bro, I flash off on children, everybody. I don't take no bullshit, bro. It's just because you have to take in and absorb so much when you be in them places because you don't want to mess off your situation and so much going on and you just sucking it in. You come out here, it's like you get it off. So I'm dealing with that right now. I'm dealing with that how I got the right heart on wanting to have my mom or my grandma, but I have a mental condition that I need help from other people to be around to help me with little things. Not so much
right.
to take care of them, but where I can have a break for myself to deal with myself. You feel me?
Right.
So, and people don't like, don't say that. I knew before coming home because I said, man, I got a mental problem. I need a psych. I need to go see him, bro, because, man, you walking 5 steps one way, 5 steps back another way for 14 years. Bro, that's affecting on your mind.
Artificial, come on, man. And then the brainwash that went on just living in this country among them people, that too. Then you got
no
post-traumatic
doubt.
Slave syndrome. You got post-traumatic prison syndrome. You know, all
right.
kinds of shit going on with black folks. Yeah.
Right.
Then most of them is identifying with a peck of wood and they shit. There's a bunch
right.
of shit going on we got that ain't right about us.
Right.
You know?
Right.
That we have to work on. Like Michelle Obama say, you have to self-medicate. Help yourself.
Help yourself. You do. You
say,
do.
Find the tools. She say, because you got the tools, you have to find your own tools. You don't take a wrench when you need pliers.
Right. Right. Yeah, you know? So that's what I was saying, man. Like a lot of stuff. So for me, it's like, I got a lot of stuff on my plate, and I got a lot of stuff inside of my I got a reservoir of wealth of stuff. And listen, left and right, I be pulling stuff out for myself and people that, like all of a sudden, we can talk about something, and I got it on file. Yeah, I got it because I've been studying so much stuff, and it's so much for me because I'm trying to listen. I'm trying to shake off what I've been through and trying to deal with what I'm into right now. You feel me? And it's so much. Even with the company. I told you that. I'm the only person on the company. I got a treasurer that's sitting over there that don't really know how to move, and it's just me. I just have an idea. But I got people like you who's studying on it, and like my brother out there, Ken. He runs some kind of nonprofit out there with people. And I'm telling him, damn, work for self. I got a business, too. Okay, in conjunction with it. Help me get it off. Y'all can move it. Because, I don't know a lot of shit, bro. All I know is how to give and my heart know how to give and help. That's all I know how to do, bro. I don't know the intrinsics of that stuff. And really, I'm one of them kind of persons, I want to know enough to move, but I don't need to know it all. I need to have somebody else do it. You feel me? Mm-hmm. But I got the organization out there with the 501c. I'm way out here, though. You got trust. I don't got trust. Like, it's shit people have to come together on. Hell, you said that before. You could be president out there. I don't give a shit about that type of stuff. Hell, do you, but it's opening the door for other people. That's all I care. I don't have to be getting a dime on what you're doing on the chapter out there. It's helping people. That's why I know I opened up the door for people to be touched and be blessed. That's what I care about. So I love what you're doing with the brothers to getting them on the core because we got to come together. If we not, we going to die off.
Yeah, the only way we're going to do it is. The only way it's going to get done is that. You got to set the example. See, because through our conversations and everything, I already see, okay, he's saying, if we get these people together, woo-to-woo-to-woo, okay, how do I get them together? How do I gather How do I get their confidence in me that what I'm doing, so forth? Then I got to have something that's going, because they just, like Dr. Amos said, just because somebody say they're going to do it don't mean they're going to do it. You
right.
You got to get with the people that's doing it. So if they see I'm doing it and they see I'm making moves, everybody know I'm a hustlerpreneur, so they can see me demonstrate.
Right.
So they've been in business for many years and all that. I just get out of that thing, and then, you know, within 3 years, I'm down there with the car wash. You know, when that didn't, everybody know that white folk moved me from out of there. So now,
right. Now
they see me with the truck, so they always see me in business, so they know that.
Right.
So I can't convince somebody that's not doing what I'm doing because they don't have that mindset. So ain't no sense in me messing with them. I got to go to the people that's doing the things I'm doing. That's the first thing. I gotta go to the people that's doing what I'm doing. That's the first thing we gotta do. Associate ourselves with each other. Like, that's why me and you can have a conversation now as family. You ain't gotta sit and go through all that to convince me.
Hold on, listen. Yeah, man.
Jabbar don't know what he's talking about, man.
Hey, let me get this in real quick. On this commercial, I just wanted to interject and let them know, man, we live and direct on the Morning Drip, man, with Suleiman Bey, and we got the professor, Dr. Hakeem Jabbar, spitting the isms on there, man. And we live and direct, man, from the penitentiary, man. We got one on the penitentiary, man, listening in live and direct from us, man. That's how we do it. You know we do the prison reform, too.
And then what I'm going to do is break down. I got a lot of bullet points on my thing, but what I'm going to do is break it down to entrepreneurship, business, economics, and criminal justice. Because what I want to do is, I want to, see, because like you say, the brothers that's in there, let me tell you a story about this white man in Arizona. He had a construction company, cuz, and he just couldn't get a good crew together, right?
Right.
So he had some brain flash. Let me go to prison down here and see if some of these guys and what they got going into these guys that are getting out of jail. So he went in there and interviewed a few guys that was coming out of jail, right? And he told him, you know, he took the application. When you get out, he said, I got a place for you to stay, and I got a job for you. Come work with me. So he hired this brother, and the brother came out because, you know, when you're in prison, you work with a lot of loyalty that you don't work with on the street. Prison gives you a chance to exercise loyalty, patience, and certain emotions that you just don't hit on the street all the time. There it's in abundance. You know what I'm saying to you? So this guy, he was loyal to this man. Man, they got him a job, got him a place. Now he got a company truck. He doing his thing. So the man went inside. His whole crew is prisoners. You know, and he said it's the best workers he ever had. He said he never seen people so loyal. He says when one of the guys come to prison and he start messing up, he don't have to say nothing because them other guys ain't going to let them mess up this situation they got going. He said, I don't have to do none of that. You know what I'm saying, T? So I want to be able to get a brother when he come out to kill that stress, that mental thing he's been to go through. Because most of them get out ain't got a chance, but they got a good mindset. Well, how do you think the Nation of Islam built up their clientele? He went in there and got them soldiers up out of there.
Them soldiers.
He went in there and got them soldiers up out of there. And that was the warriors right there. That's the FOI right there. Most of the Nation of Islam members really come from the church. But
right.
He went and got them soldiers. He wouldn't got them homeless people. He wouldn't got them thugs off the street. He wouldn't got the prostitute and the hustling girls. And look how he transformed them into something. Because he had something to offer them.
Right.
He had something to offer them. He didn't say, come on, man. Come on, man ain't good enough no more. If I'm coming out to penitentiary, you're talking about, come on, man. Come on to what?
Right.
White folk ain't got nothing for us. Them programs they got ain't designed to do nothing but get somebody some money for having it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, Chief? Now you already in America with they bullshit. Now you a felon where they want you at. Ain't nobody going to give you no job. And another thing is that we know when the brothers get out, because we've been involved in that same situation. We know who's full of shit and who ain't full of shit. We know that, automatic. You ain't getting out. You're not getting out blowing no smoke up our ass. No, because we know. We know who's going to be with it, and we know who's going to not be with it. So we know who to mess with.
Wait, hold on.
We don't
need
no application. We don't need all the process.
This is Global CalLink. You have a prepaid call from.
Wait, hold on. Let me get
an inmate at the Mule Creek State Prison, Ione, California. This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded. Thank you for using Global CalLink.
Little bro, you on the morning drip, man. Live for the penitentiary, man. You can tell them how they hold the motherfucker hostage, kidnapping the motherfucker in there, man. Asbestos, lead paint, all the bullshit, huh? What's up?
Man, what's up with it, man? It's Mel Chapman, Ishmael, live and direct, man. Yeah, this out here, California CDCR, man.
We got an advocate on the line too, man, brother Hakeem Jabbar, man. That's my kinfo, man, and he be doing a lot of stuff in the community out there in the Bay and stuff, man. So he with the prison reform and all that too. So I just want to get you in, man, because I know we've been doing a lot of stuff through the Legal Empowerment Group, you know, together. And I just want people to hear from this for themselves, man, what's going on. People thinking when you're in them places, man, everything good, you're safe, and man, they could just far from the truth, man. So just expound on what's going on with you in them places, man, so we can get help out here.
Basically, what's going on up in here, man, with all this COVID situation and everything, man, it was a terrible situation. You know what I'm saying? First and foremost, they was housing brothers the wrong way. You know, cats was getting sick instead of isolating cats, putting them in individual cells and whatnot until they can quarantine. They was putting them in gym situations where you got 13, 14, up to 50 other people up in there that got COVID as well. So as you getting cleared from yours, you know what I'm saying, you're re-catching it over and over again because you're never able to really, you know, truly heal from the situation. And then just the medical system, man, it's just very, very bad up here. I was a victim.
What place,
man,
you at?
I'm in Mule Creek right now in California.
Mm.
I was up there, too. I was in L. So are they giving the shots?
Yeah, they are giving the shots, and it is getting better, you know what I'm saying, now. But as we was going through it, man, it was terrible.
But they're not,
you know.
But they're not isolating you guys. What they do is
they're
gonna put us in the gym. So I'm supposed to. You can't do quarantine with 13 people. You do quarantine by yourself.
Yeah.
By yourself. You know.
You don't. So that's what they. So you know, I'm gonna have to. You know what? Because the boys say he got some money for. Get his information. Javar's, where he at,
yeah,
and that stuff and everything. Get his name so I can in the number. So
we got.
So I can move in, because when they ask me they got money, they say they got some stipend for the COVID. I'm already on a COVID ambassador for COVID out here. So this guy got some money for me because these are white folks here. So I had to tell him how we gonna do our people, because y'all don't know. So what I want to do is tell him I want the money so I can deal with the brothers in the pen. That's what I want to do.
Yeah.
So,
right.
So I'm asking for that money. You got enough people out here doing it. What about the brothers in the? We always forget about the people in the pen, except us
that
sit in the pen.
And then that was my main thing coming home. I was like, man, what can I do for the prisoners being in that situation before? When they don't understand, you got water, you can't even drink the water out the faucets. What if you ain't got no money coming in? The water brown, they are shit like that. I mean, you got lead in the pipes because you got these old 100-year-old buildings. They still housing people in. It's supposed to be dim. Listen, I was in a building that on you go on the computer, man, Terre Haute, Indiana, man, you go on the computer, it's a condemned building. They still housing people in there for the last 10 years. It's been condemned. It's on the website, so they getting away with stuff like this, asbestos, black mold in the showers and shit, man. And you breathing
because
they're
not exposed. Nobody's exposed.
Right.
Listen, we all know that. You can put up all the ruckus you want in there as a convict, but the pressure on pens come from outside.
Outside.
Now, see, yep. I can call the warden. I can call somebody from outside. They can't talk to me like they talk to somebody else. I ain't under your kidnap act right now. I need to know what's going on, so it ain't no pressure being put on them to expose to these things. That's
right.
What they need, exposing.
Right.
What do y'all do? Look, I don't hear. I ask some people, what are y'all doing about the brothers that's in prison with this? Oh, that's a whole no. That ain't a whole nother thing. When most of us been kidnapped and locked up in there, why ain't nobody checking on them? Quit just worrying about people on the street. Worry about somebody that's coming back to these streets. You know me, I'm with the shit, so I don't care. So now that just prompts me right now, when the guy say he got a stipend, I want to go in these prisons and see what's going on with these brothers. That's what I want to do. What are they doing in there? Because they're not saying anything on the news about it.
No, that's right.
They don't want them to know.
What I'm seeing, what works the best with CDCR in California is hitting their pockets. You know what I'm saying? That class action lawsuit, that's what needs to really be done. Because you got brothers like me who had already had influenza A in the past. I had a valley fever in the past. And then I had a joint disintegration disease called HLA B27 that put me on embryo injections once a week. That lowers the immune system. So in the process of all this, I catch COVID-19, and they put me in a gym. I'm high-risk medical, and you put me in a gym with up to 50 other
people. This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
And then on top of that, a week into my quarantine, they come for my shot, and I ask the doctor directly, is it okay for me to still take this shot? And I got COVID, and that drops my immune system. You know what I'm saying? It makes my body where I can't fight off diseases. And the doctor gonna tell me, why would we send it to you if you couldn't take it? So I went on and let him inject me again, you know what I'm saying, and instantly, about within hours, I was sick, throwing up in there and everything, and I alerted them and let them know everything that was going on, and they just bypassed it. They said, oh, you'll be all right. And so
right.
I come up out of there, and as of Monday, you know what I'm saying, that just passed, I test positive again for valley fever. I got rid of valley fever in 2017. I did the 6-month fluconazole pills and all the stuff, and then turned around again. Now I have been subjected to it because of this COVID, because of the vaccination, all the whole stuff that you're forcing upon, you know what I'm saying, brothers up in here. And so I got my paperwork in on it right now. And so, you know, that's an addendum added to it once I get it back, because I already know, you know, that their administrative remedies, they can't fix what I need to be done.
There's you need help from outside.
Yeah, exactly, but this cold thing that it's several brothers that have situations like this, several inmates in general that have no help outside. You know what I'm saying? That you know,
right.
this could be beneficial all the way around, because once this comes to their face, you know what I'm saying? They have no choice. This is blatant. I got paperwork verifying that this didn't happen. You know what I'm saying? All the way around.
Yeah, what I gotta do is I gotta first get, because I gotta put myself in those spaces with those people that's doing what they're doing, and they black folk. So that means something to me when they're the right time.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
So
right.
So if they're the right time, you know. So
yeah.
What it is that we finally, I'm trying to be a voice. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be the voice. So what
right.
I'm going to do is see before I can call John Burr and stuff and say this was going on, I need to start getting the facts together and then bring in the legal team, you know, because I remember Imam say, if you want to get these people, you better get them in their pocketbook because they love their money. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He said, when you start messing with their money, boy, they start paying it. They start making changes. You know?
Yeah, they pay attention.
So tell me this,
Melchizedek
L.
Yes,
tell me this.
Yes, sir.
How is that book coming along, the Noble Drew Ali, The Exhuming of a Nation? How is that coming along? Not with just you, but I'm talking about with the people that you had.
Oh, yes, indeed, man. We on that. We got a study group. There's about six of us that's every day diligently at it, and we all got that book. You know what I'm saying? Which is a beautiful thing that we.
Oh, they got it too.
The street, yeah. Everybody got it now. Well, so, you know, that's beautiful. Everybody, yeah. I say that's beautiful.
Let me tell you the beautiful is about that. Go ahead.
The beautiful part, you know what I'm saying, having help, you know what I'm saying, from the streets, you know what I'm saying, out there, you know, the legal empowerment group, you know what I'm saying, been helping a lot, you know what I'm saying, assisting brothers with, you know, reestablishing their birthrights and whatnot, understanding, you know what I'm saying, that you're not just a black man in America, you know what I'm saying, that you derive, you know what I'm saying, from the Moorish Empire, your Moorish descent, the Moabite nations and so forth, you know what I'm saying, and understanding that, man, and it's changing the whole attitude. I got the whole yard, you know what I'm saying, over here, all the brothers, man, intrigued. Every time I go to y'all, they like, man, I want to know about the Moors, man. Hey, man, can you send me something? Can you send me this? Can we sit down? You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, it's definitely coming.
And listen.
See, because that's one of the – see, that's one of the times most brothers, they don't have a study habit until they hit that pen.
Right.
They got time to research now. You can't change what a person do until you can change what they think.
Right.
So now some of these brothers, they be ready because they're in there educating themselves about themselves. Know thyself. That's in
everything. Know thyself.
So what happens is now we need to have a program where we can send that information into them so they can get it, because it's the only time they're going to read. Me and you still read and study. But I've done more reading. The last time I was locked up for 33 months, I read 125 books, and I don't read fiction.
Right. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't read fiction, and I don't know it all, but I'm not a know-nothing. But you ask me a question then with your dumb ass. You understand what I'm saying, people?
Right.
So I'm a self-educator. I was my own preceptor. You understand what I'm saying to you? That's what I got out of the pen the many years I've done. It is the proper education.
Yeah.
That's what I want to work with my criminal justice brothers like him. I need to send him in.
Yeah, and that's what we've been doing in legal problem. We've been sending them books and stuff in there so they can share it with the brothers. And listen, man, I want to give this gem for real. My studies, a lot of time when people go to prison, they find Islam and the Moors and all that. They never knew about it before. Well, Islam people knew, but a lot of people didn't know about Moorish part until they go to prison. But a lot of times when they get in prison, you get caught up on people just, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
everybody there? Mel, you there too?
Yes, sir, I'm here.
Okay, so listen, a lot of times when we go there, when we go to prison, we find like Islam or the Moors and stuff, but a lot of times we get Islam. We get people with their versions of this and that. And you never know the Arthurs. People come to Islam, they never know the Prophet Muhammad. People come to Moors, they never know the Prophet Noble Drilly. They just follow stuff, and they never even get into the depth and go and study their life and teaching. You feel me? So that happened to me with the Moors. I was just following, and I was into the want to hit a lean, and the verbiage was real good. But when I got that book right there, what I sent you, when I got that book, in that black law with that constitution, I knew that we had been sent the Redeemer. Based upon my rest of my journeys and the Bible and everything else, I knew that we had been received the Redeemer based off that book, and I was reading it, and it brought me to a whole nother level.
This call and your telephone number will be monitored and recorded.
So I told myself, come home, I said, when I get out, I'm going to send that to not only to people in the pen, but to my family. My brother just came and dropped my mom off a week ago. He a born-again Bible thumper. That's what he do. He a Christian Bible drummer. He don't be wanting to hear it. I had the book in the room. You know, I talk my talk. I had the book in the room. I say, bro, I invite you to read this book. He said, man, I was looking through that. See, he was just sitting there, Noble Drew Ali Exhumination. Bam, all about Yahushua. Guess what? When he left here, he had wrote stuff down, said he go get that book. Yes, sir. See?
Yeah, so, see, what happens is that anytime, first thing is the deprogram. You know what I'm saying, T? That's
right.
The whole thing. You got to deprogram them. You know what I'm saying? They like, it's almost like they've been in a war over there. You understand what I'm saying? A mental war, you know?
Right.
So the first thing is to deprogram. You know, once you can deprogram them, you know, like sometimes God, people gonna go to hell, and they gonna say, I can't see. And you couldn't see when you was there, because let me tell you something. You could be deaf, dumb, and blind.
Right.
Meaning that you can't see nothing, the truth, you can't hear the truth, and you can't feel the truth.
Right.
Because you're deaf, dumb, and blind to the truth.
Right.
The truth is the only thing that opens you up.
That's
why
right.
When people get that information and read that book, the truth comes. And the truth
right.
always opens. You know when you got the truth, because you get opened up.
It knocks out the brains of falsehood every time.
Right. Yeah. It knocks his brains out. It speaks about that in the Quran. Knocks his brains
sir.
Out. So
yes,
the
sir.
first thing is to get the people to truth.
You have 60 seconds remaining.
One thing, see, man, we can build.
Give us
some
Mel
Jeffrey.
We got Mel Jeffrey. You got 67, man. 60 seconds on your end. Give us something, man. Let you get back. Give us something for the family to hold too.
Man, don't forget about your peoples, man. You know, stay
right.
focused. Don't forget about us, bro.
Yeah, man, we got y'all out there.
Steady, we steady up in here striving and rehabilitating and growing too, man. And we not a lost
right.
station, man. You know?
Yeah, we got y'all, man. If y'all can hit back, man. I got you. You know that.
Okay, all the time.
Yeah. All right, peace and love.
Y'all have a good one. Peace and love.
All right, peace.
Because if I'm going to help somebody, I'd rather help somebody that's already got that mindset, because they already got the mindset.
Right.
So they're not going to be hard to help, because they already got the mindset.
Yeah, they're willing.
They're in the dungeon.
They're
in the
cow stage. Yeah, they're willing.
Yeah, they want to come right to, I'm telling you, listen, bro, sometimes you got to take page out of every famous person in America. And my page, I know that the soldiers, most of the people I see and deal with, you know, they've been under that act. Those are the people that really understand at a different level, you know. See, because we've been part of modern day slavery. So these Negroes that ain't never been kidnapped and put in them places, they don't understand slavery, because that's slavery. It says in the 13th Amendment, you can enslave a person, a slave
for a crime,
abolish, except if you punish them for a crime, that means you can enslave them.
Right.
So if you haven't been part of this new slavery, that prison complex, you don't understand slavery. But once you've been in there, you get slavery, because it's the new slavery. So you be a slave in there.
Right.
Period. Man, come on, man.
That's all it is.
Come on, man. So I'm narrowing all my things down to economics, economy, entrepreneurship, and criminal justice. That's all I'm going to focus on with my nonprofit right now. I'm going to focus in on them four things.
And that's
it.
And that's what I broke down my whole structure.
And then as I move on, I'll start adding the other ones. But right now, I'm going to focus in on them, because them are the ones. Because I believe I want my crew to come out to 10.
Me
that's
too.
What I want.
Man, listen, I got four or five of them that call. And I send them books. I send them books, dictionaries, make sure they got something on their. I got four or five of them that call, no doubt, and a female. I got a female that call now on the spiritual level. I need to hear her. Don't get caught up in the physical. I didn't appear to you physically. I appeared to you spiritually. Yeah, to help you get on your feet and learn something for yourself. Don't get caught up if I'm going to be here or be with you. This ain't about that. I'm here spiritually for you. This shit people don't do. I wish somebody, when I was away, was there. I could write texts and build with the whole time I was there, whether we just friends or not.
Because,
I can't fuck them. I'm in jail.
What happens when somebody starts doing stuff for you when you're in jail?
You break a bond.
What do they become? They become loyal to you.
Loyal, dependent, loyal.
Would you ever have somebody be loyal or somebody fear you?
Yeah, I like loyalty, man.
Right. So what happens is, by us assisting them in there, especially right-minded, and you can catch right-minded in there.
Right.
There ain't no question. Because if somebody in there got somebody out here looking out for them, you building something right there.
You building, yes you is.
A lot of them brothers hurting there. They ain't got no help. They ain't got no nothing. You know what I'm saying? Worrying about a soup. You know?
Right.
Worrying about a soup.
So, that brings me joy, man. And the sister was like, man, I'm so thankful for you. I'm like, no, I'm thankful for you. You making me happy, because I know you just go in the room and shoot the shit with your girlfriend. You got a letter. You got this and that. They start laughing. Yeah, we were talking. I said, I've been through all that. Motherfucker in the room. Yeah. I know that this gives you hope, helps you out. You got to focus on yourself, because you're going through a mental stage right now, and people don't even know it. You come out there and be mentally fucked up. You need relief. Mm-hmm. You need to be able to have your – and it's sad that people, family don't look out for them and nothing. Sometimes we burn them bridges just because of our lifestyle. But sometimes people just don't understand. They think you're doing good and you're safe, but it's fucked up.
It'd be out of sight, out of mind.
Yep. What have you done for me lately?
Out of mind.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be out of sight, out of mind. They what they want to look at is what he did and not what caused him to do or live that type of lifestyle. They always want to talk about what somebody did. Hey, man, the reason the person lived his lifestyle is this is what the brainwash did. You know, we all started to brainwash shit. Yeah, so of course we're going to be living like idiots.
Yeah, no question about it. Our whole lifestyle been given to us to keep us down. Yeah, so that's what the fight being. Like you said, it's a struggle, man. Elijah Muhammad said it best, man. He told Farrakhan, man, this is hard raising the people, man. Raising black people, raising the dead, man, dead bones.
Mm-hmm.
Dead bones, man.
and it's just hard. But like I said, the best thing is the best thing we know this about man is not, most men, they're not leaders, they're followers. So you have to be the example. That's what they always need. That's why they sent Yahushua to the earth, so he could be the example to show you, damn, if one man could do it, you could do it. But people study trying to give the power to others than themselves. They looking outside of themselves. You calling on other people's names, Jesus and everybody else. Do it for yourself. You got to do it. You got to pick up your own cross, pick up your own bed and walk. Hell, I done made plenty blind people see. I done made plenty crippled people pick up their beds and walk. I done made plenty deaf people hear. You don't believe that? Yes, sir, I have. So the same thing what you saw him do, you could do it. But people, not, they don't have to believe in the power in themselves. Who are you looking for? Who are you praying to? Who are you submitting to? What's the use busting your head five times a day if you don't understand what that's for? That has nothing to do with the inside. That's a submission for the physical. What are you doing? Who are you calling to? So people don't even focus in on that. They just live in this illusion and this waiting for the pie in the sky afterwards. And it's like, wow. But that's what we've been taught. That's what we've been taught, man. Yeah, man. Yeah. And so that's good, man. You've been getting all the ins and outs on that stuff, man, and learning and making the right context and move. Because, like you said, that's what it's about.
You got to, if you're going to get some money, that people got money, but you got to get in the space.
Yeah, you do.
And if you ain't in the space, you ain't going to get nothing. So I
right.
put myself in them spaces. I got,
right.
and I'm putting myself in them spaces with the people that got the know-how to do it. You know, take
right.
me step by step. This is how you're going to get some money. This is how you're going to get some money. This is what you got to do. And anything
right.
else other than this, they're not going to give you nothing.
Right.
They're not going to give nothing. They don't give you nothing for this. You ain't got your paperwork and certain things in order. You're not going to get anything.
Right.
Even with nonprofits and all that. You know, you're
yeah.
not going to get nothing if your situation ain't straight, because that's how you play the game. When you sit down and play Monopoly, you can't change the rules. You got to play according to the rules.
Everything is paper. Everything, if people just understand that about this country, everything is on paper. It's contractual, so it always got to be paper straight. You can't go to nowhere without no paper game. It's all on paper because all this shit is fraudulently created on paper. So you got to play a paper game. That's just it. That's just the bottom line.
The paper
that's how it goes. It's a paper game.
Exactly.
Whether the paper is you just writing on some ink or you passing physical paper, that bullshit money is all a paper game. That's what it is. And you gotta know that. And so I learned that. I've been learning that since I've been home, just, you know, with business formation, understanding that, hell, your paper game, I don't care. You're going to have a physical business and won't get shit.
Exactly.
And I'm going to have a paper game and go get me some money. Yeah, I go give me some money because you having a paper game. So yeah, that's like you said, that comes to the knowledge, and all this stuff is hidden in the books. Everything
is
hidden in studying in books, man. That's what they told us that. They told you want to hide some from us, put it in books. So we need to start reading and studying more. That's all we need to do. Spend more time in that. And we can do that. And like I said, the physical books be the best because a lot of times they change information. You know, you've been in them places, man, when you go to the computer, the law library, and people getting them cases busting their heads, and you go back in there when they got the computer age, they ain't in the computer no more. But when you used to have the books, you could go find all that old stuff. Yeah, so they got a lot of technology they use, you feel me? But, yeah, man, I just wanted to touch in bases with you today, man, get a good show in. She filled the whole slot up, man. And then we got a good call. We're blessed to get the call from the pen. Them brothers been doing a lot of work, man, and building and stuff, getting themselves together in there, man. And I'm getting their paperwork together so they could go back in and hit these people upside their head over these jurisdiction issues. You feel me? So that was the thing with me. If I would have had people on the street while I was in there, I would have got out years earlier under the Mortgage Act, let alone just having my papers filed. So I've been doing that for them, getting their papers and stuff filed prior to them going to the court. So it would already be established through the courts and on their records and stuff that they're not who they say they are. You feel me? Then they could start fighting the jurisdiction challenge. Like, okay, well, how you have jurisdiction on me? Only way you had jurisdiction is under the black clause. And here go all my paper trail showing that I done put it through your whole system that I'm not black, because you got to show that in this country. Yeah, you got to show what type of person you are. And if you don't do that, then you're artificial.
See, I got the idea of getting the black businesses together first.
Uh-huh.
So what I got to do is build them guys this trust. Once I do that, then they're going to go for anything I say.
No
now
question.
They're going to follow me.
No question about it. Hey, man, when
you know
got people
saying,
coming to you, too, with little small, like, cause we was talking about that, man, me and my lady friend, we was talking about that. When people come, you have businesses come, and they trying to get established, people don't have their credit all the way, Man, it's little stuff, just like we know now with banking and different stuff you could do to manipulate the system, put money in there every day, make sure you get $12,000 a month for 3 months. You know, you could get a loan, stuff like that.
Right,
little
right,
things
right,
you could
so,
do to manipulate.
Hey, look, I want you to go to Netflix and look under Explained. It's called Explained.
What's the credit card? Spell it out.
All the other little. Hey, Kevin, I got to take this call.
Okay. One peace and love. All right. So, yeah, that's how we're going to end the day. We had the brothers on there, the Moors on there, Brother Hakeem Jabbar slid through with his isms for the community. And then we had Melchizedek L. call from the penitentiary, man, from Mule Creek in California, just explaining the conditions of the prison. You know, for a lot of people out there think your loved ones are safe and sound. They've been kidnapped for one, and then they're in extreme conditions. You feel me? Black mold, lead, asbestos. You could go on and on. Water, dirty water, oil and gas in the tank pipes. Oil in the pipes. So, yeah, they got a lot of conditioning. They come home and they mentally messed up. They're walking in one space for 10 years, 12 years, 15 years. So the mental part, the physical part. So, yeah, man, you know, y'all signing on the bills and stuff. You don't know about prison reform and all this. Man, the people doing the most crazy shit ain't your people. Your people killing each other. Yeah, the ones who going out there doing the real crimes, hurting people, the ones who y'all need to be putting these laws on. But anyway, like I said, we at the end of our time. I just want to come through and feel y'all presence today, and hopefully I bless y'all presence, and we can just keep moving forward. And I thank y'all again. This is the Morning Drip with Suleiman Bey. We'll be back at it again another day, the 2, 3, however we decide. Might pick up tomorrow. Might pick up later. As long as you tune in, go back in the archives, it's all good. And peace and love. Holler at y'all later.